Hi, Sandra. In a previous session, the topic of being I-God was addressed, and it was all about the creation of reflexes, but also the elimination of dysfunctional reflexes. The functional reflexes we can call the angels, and the dysfunctional reflexes we can call the devils. The functional reflexes basically connect to the whole of the body. The dysfunctional reflexes tend to be located around traumatic experiences where things couldn't compute, went wrong, couldn't be integrated. So they disintegrated and they separated from the body and got locked away from the rest of the body. They were already locked in the subconscious and unconscious, out of conscious. And from there, of course, people do no longer see what they are doing by reflex, because they basically have given all of their life over to their reflexes. When the reflexes don't work, you need to fix them. So we talked about that. And the conclusion was that the way to fix them is to undo the reflex, which means that you need to retrace the transition from the choice to the decision to the conviction to the reflex, but that is also a transition from the conscious to the subconscious to the unconscious to the out of conscious. And that corresponds to what we then know as the transition from the conscious in the beta brain waves of looking at the environment, the subconscious of the dream landscape, the dream memories of the environment in the alpha brainwave awareness, then from there on to the unconscious, which is the level of the convictions, the organ level in the body where we process how we relate to the environment, yes and no. And then from there on all the way to the out-of-conscious, to the cellular level, where we are part of the universal experience. And it is at that level that the reflexes act on our behalf. As I mentioned, to be able to edit those reflexes, it is necessary to go to that level of the out-of-conscious. For a lot of people that is difficult. And we've also talked separately about how important that is, because when people have these dysfunctional reflexes and these dysfunctional beliefs, then they will adversely interact with others. When people in themselves have got disconnected from their life experience, from their surroundings, that's called autism. Essentially, that is a conscious decision to be disinterested in what other people are doing. And there tend to be good reasons for that. Narcissism is the same kind of disconnectedness, but connected to the way people relate. So it's a dysfunctional kind of relationship, which is at the subconscious level. In the same way, the psychopaths at the unconscious level have this kind of alienation or separation at the group level of functioning. And the sociopaths have that in the out-of-conscious level, which is at the scale of dealing with humanity. So it's important to realize that these different levels of consciousness, there are people who operate at those levels of consciousness and got stuck there, and by their being stuck, interact with others from that level of stuckness, from these dysfunctional reflexes, at the subconscious, the unconscious, and the out-of-conscious level. So it's really important to be able to assess that such dysfunctional reflexes are taking place. But that requires the awareness that this is not taking place at the level of the consciousness, where most people have their attention most of the time. And that's also the reason why people have difficulty to interact with the narcissists, which operate at the subconscious in the relationships. And as it is subconscious, and it is a subconscious reflex, it's, as I tend to say, 10 times as fast as you can think. So the narcissist will outpace you 10 times. Psychopath will outpace you 100 times, so to say, paralleling that tenfold again, because it is now in the unconscious and a corresponding much higher processing speed. Compared to a computer, when you're doing things on the screen, it is different than what the computer is doing in the computer program, which is different from what happens at the logic gates in the computer program itself, which is at the deeper level. It goes quicker still because that's at the clock frequency of the computer, which is the top speed of whatever goes on in that system. And in the out-of-conscious, that's the top speed of what's going on in our unconsciousness, out-of-consciousness system. So that's why the sociopaths are much quicker than we can think. And that is, say, on the one hand, the problem in being able to interact with the narcissist, the psychopath and sociopath. But on the other hand, it is a solution, because once you realize that we all operate these different levels of consciousness in the sleep cycle. If we can enter into the sleep cycle and become conscious of our subconscious, conscious of our unconscious, conscious of our out-of-conscious, then we can also have the benefit of operating at 10 times, 100 times, even 1,000 times quicker than we would normally think. And I, you, others will have had those experiences too, that there are these moments that you go into, let's say, a trance state, and in this trance state have an awareness of experience of say lasting hours, and then when you come out of the trance state you discover that it was actually only a couple of seconds. So you can have that immense expansion of time, this intense speeding up of time, if you go to the other state of consciousness. There are many researches of drugs, hypnosis and other techniques in which it becomes clear that if the mind stops interfering, if you bypass the mind, then different processes of understanding come in. Non-verbal and very much more high speed, much more connected to the soul, which is much quicker. And there are also even much faster levels of processing, let's call them at the spirit level, where you are no longer identified with it and you in a way see the universe as it is. And that is, as in the computer, the top speed of what what things will go at. In order to be able to understand how that works, for me, the sleep cycle is the quickest entry point. Also, because it is a very easy handle to be able to do the kind of meditation which is then practical to work with, say, the changing of the reflexes or the changing of the conviction, even the changing of the decisions. The decisions subconscious, the convictions unconscious, and the reflexes out of conscious. So let me recapitulate what happens in our sleep cycle. I already mentioned it before. Outer world, beta brainwaves, you are connected to what's going on around you. A 3D image, so to say. Close your eyes, then what you perceive is limited by the surface of the body, two-dimensional, and what you experience is what goes on in the body. The after effect of the contact with the environment, the dream state, the dreamscapes, the alpha brainwave level. State of relaxation, things go as they flow. You can see things happen, you can dive into them, yes or no. If you don't, you can better see what's happening and you can have a better overview of see how everything that's happening at that level connects and interconnects. Dreamscapes, lucid dreaming, magic dreaming, all of that operating at that level. Lucid dreaming is that you know that you're dreaming and you can interact with your dreams. Magic dreaming is that you know that you're dreaming and you actually ask your dreams or tell your dreams what to look for in what you want to do in your life. So that through that dreaming process, the mind and the memory and everything you know and everything you don't know is organized optimally to prepare you for whatever is coming. Hypnotic techniques make use of that, so you can actually go into states of hypnosis or self-hypnosis, in which you go from the dreaming to the lucid dreaming to the magic dreaming, and then operate what's called post-hypnotic suggestions. You are not longer looking at what the mind memory can tell you about the mind information that you have, but you actually tell it to look for specific information or to process specific informations. Going from the dream level to the sleep level, most people then lose their consciousness. They don't know what's going on anymore. Some people do know what's going on, and they do know that they have a choice to be in the body, yes or no. A lot of people would probably have a tendency to leave their body at that time, and those who stay with their body can experience that at that deeper level. There are other processes going on, which are those of the organ system. The organ system is that what's built the whole body. So you have all of these systems in the body. You have the skeleton and the blood building and the structural organization. The muscles part of that. You have the physiological system with all the circulatory systems. You have the identity integrity system, which is the neurons, the hormones, the immune system and all that. You have the consciousness system, which is not just all the brain, but also the microbes in the body and also the cells, also the bone cells. All of them are conscious, all of them think. And at that deeper level, the theta brainwave level, that's where the body organs then are functioning. It's as if you, the beta level, you're seeing the ship on the ocean. The alpha level, you land on the deck of the ship. The theta level, the engine room, you see how things are taking place and how the organs connect you, disconnect you into the environment, and how the organs together process, maintain, operate, organize your body. And when you go to the deeper level, the delta brainwave level, the cellular level, that's where you can actually see how the coal fuels the furnace and how the ship gets to move and why it can't sail the oceans. You're right at the base level of where things are really happening, and also the understanding of why the coal is being added, because the ship is going there, because the cargo is going there somewhere, because somebody is connecting to somebody across the distance. So at that deepest level, you see the nitty-gritty of what the cells are doing, but you see what they're doing because the universe is doing something. There are different ways to get into these different levels of consciousness, and just to short-circuit something, there is this very cowardly way of lousy, lazy shamans when they kill a chicken because they are too lazy to do the meditation to go to the delta brainwaves. The delta brainwaves, also known as the gate of death, the gate of survival, the gate of cellular function, that's where you also go at the moment that you're in pure deep survival stress. When a chicken dies, it automatically goes to delta brainwaves, because that's how the system works. And then the shaman sort of hitchhikes along on that. It's I consider it cowardly, deceptive, dishonest. and disrespectful to the chicken. The shaman should simply do his own work and connect to his own delta deep trance brainwave level. There are, of course, other techniques. There's some drugs which bring people to the deep slate, the trance state. There are electronic means by which you can do it. Neurofeedback can give that feedback so that the brain can shift gear. All of them are external props. Yes, they work, but in the same way as people use nicotine and get nicotine dependency, or they can use alcohol, get alcohol dependency, then there's also a trance dependency or a drug dependency or a consciousness shift dependency. And all of these drugs and all of these principles work because the body already uses it. So rather than having some external influence, which has its price, also you need to acquire it, you need to be able to use it, you need to pay off whatever it has as an addiction effect in your body, and you need to clean it out of the body, which most people forget. So I'm always inclined to just skip all of that because the price is too high. It's too cumbersome, too clumsy, and at the moment that you need it, it's not there. It works because the body already works in that way, so learn to use the body in that way. Many people have learned about the Silva mind control technique. Jose Lara, who realized that there were different forms of meditation. He interviewed lots of people doing the meditation and brought it together in a kind of Swiss pocket knife of consciousness awareness techniques. And in that approach, the theta, the alpha, the beta, the alpha, the theta, and the delta brainwave frequency were associated with the sound, were associated with a technique of shifting through the four gears of consciousness, so that people could learn in 2 weekends, essentially, to benefit a lifetime, how to go from their normal consciousness, as people talk about it, to their subconscious, to their unconscious, to their out-of-conscious. Before I go on, I would like to make clear that when we talk about conscious, subconscious, unconscious, and out-of-conscious, that is a reversal of how things really are. Because if you look at what happens in the body, the cells are the foundation of our consciousness. The cells are alive, the cells are conscious, the cell take decisions, the cell operate, activate, they use the God principle in what they do. And that is where the consciousness is. The cells in an organ are aware of what the other cells in the organ are doing. They are related, they are interrelated, they are part of the same process. They are aware that they are contributing to that same process, like musicians in an orchestra. They are aware that they are part of the same symphony. But also they are aware that what they are thinking is different from what the others are thinking. So they are submerged into this collective thinking of the organ. And that's what then is called subconscious. So for the cells, the subconscious is where they are submerged in that collective sing-song of all of these cells in that specific organ or that organ group. In the same way, for those cells in that organ, they are aware of what the other organs are doing. They're also aware that that's a different process, different orchestra, different melody, different symphony. They know of it, they're aware of it, they know it's going on, they know it relates to what they're doing, but it's not what they're doing. So it is part of their conscious, and it is not part of their conscious. For them, it is the unconscious. It is in the consciousness, but not what they are doing, what they're working on. It's part of it, it contributes to it. It is necessary for what they are doing, but it is different from what they are doing. And then we go one level up, when you go from the body level of the unconscious of the cells, you go to the out of conscious, and that's for the cells is literally outside of their consciousness. The body and the body cells, that goes to the edge of the skin, and on the surface of the skin there are sensory cells. They respond to vibrations, but outside of the body is not the body, it's out of consciousness. Outside of the body is vibrations, equivalent of the spirit domain of the quantum field of cosmic vibrations. And in that sense, we can then see that the consciousness that humans normally talk about, from conscious to subconscious to unconscious to out of conscious, is the other way around from what the cells experience, because the cells are conscious, the organs for them are subconscious, the body for them is unconscious, and the outside world is unconscious. So there are opposites. It is important to keep that in mind, because when we shift from our conscious, from conscious of the outer world to our out of conscious, we are actually shifting to the consciousness of the cell. And that needs to be kept in mind, because whatever we do, whatever we think we know, is based on what the cells are doing. They together create the organs together form the body as a whole makes it possible to have this experience that we have in our life. But it all comes from the cells. So remain aware that when we talk about the shifts of consciousness in the way people normally do it, we do it in the other way around. Okay, so now coming back to the techniques of meditation. Having talked about the sleep cycle, it's actually now very simple. Meditation simply replicates the sleep cycle. The trick is to remain awake while you fall asleep. And for most people, that is difficult, because we have created all of these reflexes which do things for us, and once we turn them on, they already do it. They do it 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times quicker than we can do it. And in that approach, we then become aware that in falling asleep, staying awake might be seemingly difficult. So techniques have been discovered, developed, found, in which it is possible to shift gears from conscious to subconscious to unconscious to out of conscious by having a frame of reference by which you can then do that. And so now let me describe the way I tend to work with this with people. And it's really funny, because in for example, Silva Mind Control, they use that too. From beta to alpha to theta to delta, and they have a process of an hour and a half. At times I use a similar process, same staging, because the staging is simply the sleep cycle. And I tend to do it in half an hour or less. In the Silver Mind Control, they also have a 20-minute cycle of that. I also discovered that I could do it in 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And at some point, I needed to explain it to people, and I actually had it in, say, 15 seconds. Simply by me going to these different stages while talking about these different stages, many of the people who were in that group were able to simply go there in those 15 seconds. I'm not going to do that now, because I prefer to, at this occasion, explain what happens, because it's much more important that you learn to do it yourself, and to realize that you are already doing it yourself every time that you fall asleep. So let me explain the dynamic which is involved then on that. You start with being connected to the outer world. In the connection to the outer world, you then also have your sensations of what goes on around you. In those sensations which you have in the outer world, you can then see things, smell things, feel things, touch things. It is what the Indian system calls samsara, the sensory perception. That is the level where the vibrations in the environment connect to your sensory system. Your sensory system responds to that. Anchoring into that beta brainwave level is by connecting to what happens around you. And there is a Tibetan technique, essentially that of supersaturation. You overload your senses in the same way that you can look at something and gaze at something, stare at something, and then you go blind for what you're seeing for the simple reason that the mind in its way says, I already know that. I don't have to see this anymore, and it switches off. So the first start of this meditation cycle is that you sit comfortably, relaxed in the environment that you're in. And then in that environment that you're in, you look for everything that you can see. You smell for everything that you can smell. You listen to everything that you can hear. You feel whatever you can feel, the clothing on your skin, the chair or the floor, whatever you're working with and standing on. So you supersaturate that, and it takes approximately 30 seconds. And in those 30 seconds, you will then find that everything switches off. So that is your cue then to realize that, okay, you have now anchored into that beta brainwave level, which is where you are alert to what happens in the environment around you, where you feel, sense, take into account what happens around you. But having done that, you know that your purpose is to go further. In a way, you have now assured that you are safe in the environment that you're in, and that you can now essentially forget the environment that you're in and get on with the job at hand. The job at hand is that you go into the deeper level, the dream level, you close your eyes, and then you go into that feeling of what's happening in your body. Actually, the same as what you did before. Before you tuned into everything you could find in the environment, now you go to what do you feel in your skin, on your skin? What do you feel in your airways? What do you feel in your gut? What do you feel in your ears, in your nose, in your tongue, in your eyeballs? What do you feel anywhere in your body? Again, you look for anything you can feel, anything you can hear, anything you can get in touch with, and you dive into that full experience of what happens inside of your body, as a body as a whole. And what do you experience? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear inside of you? So you know that you can ignore what goes on around you. You focus purely on what goes on in your body, and in your body, you feel, you feel, you feel, you sense, you sense, you sense, and go so deeply, so profoundly, so fully, absolutely immersing in it, until there too, at some point, the consciousness says, okay, I've seen it, what else is new? And then you know that the body is safe and sound, because you felt that. Then you know that you can trust the body to do what it is doing. You have felt the way it breathes. You have felt the way the blood pulses. You have felt the way the gut is working. You felt the tingling of the flow of blood throughout the body. You felt how the pulsations of the organs and the brain are taking place. You have felt where the cells are active or unactive. You know it. You know that you can trust the body to do what it is doing. And you go to the next level. And the next level is that of the organ processing. And the organs, of course, they digest the food. They pump the blood. everything that you have felt before comes from this deeper level where the organs are actually producing that. So now you can feel that the pulsations of the blood comes from those organs. And you can feel that these organs are doing all kinds of stuff together. And you can also experience that there are different sensations that correspond with that, that connect to that. And that in you, you can discern that there are those different qualities which are present. And that you can, in your own way, feel what these organs are doing, and also feel that these organs are not only circulating the blood, digesting the food, maintaining the body, but they're also processing information. You can sense that there are just not just these burblings and gurglings of the food in your gut, but also the gurglings and burpings of the thoughts that are still being processed and being digested. So by focusing on that, you can then see that there are all kind of, let's put it in the equivalent, farts being created and turds being produced and other process being activated. There are all kind of memories which circulate, all kind of notions, ideas which come by. And in the same way that your breathing keeps on going and your blood keeps on pulsing and your guts are keeping on working and the cells are being nurtured, likewise, all these thoughts, all these feelings, all these emotions are continuously being circulated and produced and moved around within you. So you can look at that, feel into that, experience that, and know it. And then at some point you realize that there too you've seen as much as there can be seen, as much as there is to be realized at that level. So you again know that you can just let it be. And in knowing that you can just let it be, you can float between all of that. It is as if you dive between the clouds and go to that level where all of that is no longer relevant and all of that is no longer important. And you come into this open space where things just are. Where the cells are, where the universe is, where you are. Things just are. And at that level, you can then feel that something totally different happens because you're no longer involved, you're no longer participating in things, you're no longer an onlooker of things, you're just being in the being of everything. And in that being of everything, you're then also in the being of you and at the core of everything that is. Then you stay there as long as you can, because by staying there longer, you connect to that deepest level of, say, coma, deep sleep. You're in a way awake in deep sleep. And as a result, you experience the deep relaxation of everything just being as it is. And by being there as long as you can, a lot of belief structures, realizations, whatever you want to call it, within you, which are like the body holding a position. You don't need to do that anymore. The mind holding a specific idea. You don't have to do that anymore. You needing to do something in the outer world. You don't have to do that there. It is as if you are on an instant holiday. And when you stay there as long as you can, you'll discover that at some point that too has been enough. and then you'll slowly become aware again that the organs are doing their thing. You slowly become aware again that the body is there and everything moves and hums, and you'll probably have that rosy feeling of totally deep relaxation. And then you probably sort of well up into this realization that you're sitting in an environment, and that's okay. You can just sit as you are and connect into the environment if you wish, but there's no need for it. At some point when you like, you can do that. And then at some point you probably open your eyes, look around and see that everything's still there and you're there. But you feel differently, because in you a lot of what was busy is now sorted out, because you could disconnect from it and it could let go of you. So this is the essence of that meditation cycle. Once you know it, it is very brief. You realize that, oh yeah, you can look at the outer world and that's the beta brainwave. Okay, that's good. And then you can switch to the body and you know that it's like being asleep. So immediately you can switch over to knowing how it feels being asleep and half dreamy. And you're in that half dream state basically immediately, because you remember it, you evoked it. And then you can go down to the deeper level. You know that at that deeper level where the organs are, everything is just moving, and you have this internal massage. And as you've been there before, you recognize it, you remember it, and you are immediately at that level of theta brainwaves. And you feel how everything falls in place. And then, okay, that's you know that, you remember that. And you know that there is that other space where everything is. The delta brainwaves, and you go into there, and then you remain there as long as you like. And again, at some point you might want to come out of that, go back, realize that the organs are doing their thing, realize that the body is what it is, and realize that there is an environment that you can play with and play in. And by doing this often, in the same way as you learn to ride a bicycle, in the same way as you learn to create any reflex, you create a reflex, a program, a ritual, whatever you want to call it, a routine, by which you can then shift consciousness without losing awareness. So you go from beta to alpha to theta to delta consciousness, again and again and again and again, until it becomes so quick and so easy that you can actually do it anytime, anywhere. So you can stand in the middle of a busy street, you can go into the dream state, you're standing there and you're in a dream state, and from the dream state you can go to this internal processing state, so you're there and you're connected to what your organs are doing, you feel what the universe is doing to you, what you're doing in the universe. And then you can go to the deepest level. You're standing there, but actually you're in total tranquility. Yes, the things are happening around you, but that's not what your focus is. Your focus is that you're connected in the universe and that the universe is connected to you. And then you have shifted your realization in where you are, because suddenly you realize that you're free to choose anything you want to do in that spot. Because you're there as the universe, and as the universe you can act on behalf of the universe, then do what the universe needs done, and just step forward and do it. Once you've done that enough, you can also elaborate what you can see at each of those levels, and in many hypnotic techniques or meditation techniques, they combine it with a picture of, say, a building with four stories, four floors. So you enter on one floor, that's the level of consciousness, then you take the stairs down, and you're at the level of the dream world. And in that dream world, in your mind, you could create a room or a space or a building or floor which has everything to do with anything to do with dreaming, with the twilight zone, with how things connect, with how you can look at things from the other side, the artistic side of things, the playful side of things, where things can transform into other things, where things are not fixed but fluid, where the dreaming becomes a creation, like swimming in water. And then you can see how the colors change, you can play with the sounds, you can touch sounds and see them turn into colors. You can explore that whole realm, and by spending more and more time there, you can see that in that dreamscape there is a specific feeling, there's a specific tone quality, a kind of fluidity. Also, the more time you spend there, more clarity. And also, the more time you spend there, more recognition for what else is there. And you can see that thought forms, which you might know in the outside world, in the dream world, have a different form. Because they are not defined by the shape that they have in the outside, but by the feeling that they have in this dreamscape. And so then you learn to work with these dreamscape feelings. Some of them you can connect, some of them you can connect later. And the most important is that you can connect to it and you can realize that this dreamscape, this dreamy landscape, is where you can think thoughts without the thoughts pushing or pulling you. Because everything flows. There is this space to let them move and also the freedom to move between them. It's as if the ropes are let go of, and you just hover between everything that is. And by spending a lot of time there, you become much more agile in a way compared to being a fish in an underwater landscape. You start to feel at home, you learn how to swim around there, you know what to look for. There are people in that dream landscape that you can talk with. There are parts of the landscape that you can go to. You can change the landscape fluidly just as you need it. So if you want to be in the desert, there you are. If you want to be on top of a mountain, there you are. If you want to go into the caves, you can do that. If you want to just swim in the ocean, you can do that. By spending time in that place, you discover how free and fluid you are at the moment that you're in this dreaming realm, because you're at a deeper level than that world of the environment that you know. In a way, you're at the level of how this world around us came to be, because even though we see the world around us as a structure, it is just a moment, a frozen picture, of a process. If you would look at the mountains, you can see how they bubble up and down. If you can look at the desert over hundreds and thousands of years, you can see how they expand and contract. There's this pulsation, and that pulsation is what you feel in that alpha brainwave level of the dream landscape. And once you get to know that, you know what you can do there, and then you can go back to that place, that doorway where the stair was, and you can either go back up to the outer world, or you can go down one floor to the deeper level, which is where you then come to the place of the body organs, the theta brainwaves, the gods of the Olympus, the engine room. And in a way, you can see that there is a kind of machinery, a kind of instrumentation, where one floor above you could see how the theater is being prepared. Then now you are behind the screens of the theater, and you can see how everything is being put in place so that the dreams can be projected onto what we call the outer world. But now you're in this place where the engine room is, and you can find out that there are principles, let's say machineries, libraries, instruments, but also wizards who help to put everything in place. And that's also the level of the theta brainwave frequency, where the healing takes place, where the transformation of everything takes place, where the reconditioning of everything takes place, where everything can be turned into something else. That's why it's the engine room. And that's why the people there are the wizards, because they understand that whatever you see has come from something which was transformed out of something else. And at this deeper level, they understand how these transformations takes place. So they know that whatever dream landscape you're in, it can transform into something else, because there is that deeper level where everything connects and transforms into each other. It's a bit like a station or an airport, where all of the trains come, all of the dream teams come and go, all of the dream planes come and go. But now you're at the switchboard that connects them in specific sequences and specific orders. And the more time you spend there, the more you see how many possibilities there are for things to change into each other. The more you discover that whatever you held to be true is just a different aspect of something else which is equally true. And the more time you spend there, the more you realize that when somebody says something which is very different from what you know, it is because from where they stand, that is how they project it, how they see it. And the more you spend time at this level, the more the transformation becomes a quality that you understand and comprehend, the more you're able to work with it, and the more you're able to see that there is always more to see, and there's always an opposite, and that the opposites are not opposite, but they're just different parts of the same story. And you can suddenly see that where in the dream world you will go from one background to the other, that it is no more than one color being projected or another color being projected, and suddenly it appears like something else. And at that theta brainwave level, by understanding that things can transform into each other, you can also understand and feel inside of you that things within you transform into each other, and things which got stuck can become unstuck. Things which are unstuck can suddenly connect. And that is the essence and the principle of healing. So at this level of the theta brainwave, you're not just in contact with the magician, the wizard in you, but also in the healer and the discerner, the observer, the judges in you, because the judges are impartial. They see that there are other things to be considered, and that there is not blame, but there is a lack of understanding. But at this level, you can then see that there is more understanding which is available. You just have to turn the corner, or turn it inside out, or change the color, or push a button. And in being at this theta brainwave level, in this unconscious, you then learn that there is this magical connection between everything that is. And the more time you spend there, the more it becomes part of you, the more you become at ease in anything that happens, the more you can appreciate differences in what people present, the more you can enjoy meeting different people or seeing different people together, because even though they seem to be at conflict, you realize that all of them are talking about something much larger, of which they only see a little part each. And by that deeper level of understanding, you then change the quality of your own being. You become a connector, because you become a transformer, because you know that this I-God principle, to generate, to operate, destroy, is an ongoing cycle. And the more you play with it, the more you can see developing out of it. So there too, you can at some point saturate yourself and understand all of it. And the more time you spend there, the more you get to comprehend it. And at some point, you can go back to the place where you entered that space. And you can go back up to the dream world, and you come back up again to the outer world, the so-called physical world, which you now know is something else altogether anyhow. Or you can go down a deeper level. And when you go down a deeper level, a sort of longer stairway into a seemingly more dark domain, then when you go there, you need to trust that it's okay to go there. You don't know, you don't feel, you don't experience, but you just follow the stairway down into the dark, and you know that at some point your eyesight will accommodate, and you will be able to see in the dark, and you will realize that in a way you're in the void of the universe. You're below that level of the machinery of the I-God creation. You're now at the root level, the soil of the universe from which everything can grow. You're now in this deep, dark ocean, which is actually full of light, because it is the quantum space, it is that immaterial space from everything comes. But it is also that space into which everything dissolves. So in a way, now you're alive while you are dead, or you're dead while you are alive. You're in that space where you're in the immaterial, you're in the impossible, in the unimaginable. You are now at the foundation of there where the cells live in the universe as a whole. And at that level, you can then, over time, learn to discern that everything which is there is as it is, and that you discover that you're one of these drops in the ocean of you being what is as it is. And there might be other people that you sort of feel are there, because yes, there are people who operate at that level of consciousness too. They have learned this meditation, they know how to spend time in this domain, and they have a presence there, and they refuel in this universal being at that level. And in being there, you can also discover that it's not just people that you know, but also there are like group spirits, or there are creative beings, or there are beings in creation. There are thought forms which are as yet formless, but which you in a way still know or get to know. And once you get to know them there, you can also recognize them when you've gone four floors up in the outer world and realize that what is happening now is something that's happening in the universe. And it is a place where, again, you can spend a lot of time, and you will discover that actually the space which seemed to be dark and void at the start, you will experience to be light and bright and fulfilled at some point. And you will discover that both of them are true. And you will also come to see that it is totally empty, because there's nothing there, there's nothing formed there, but you can also discover that it's absolutely full, because every form of consciousness is there. Everything is there. Everything comes from there. And it is as if you are digesting something, not by swallowing it and going to the stomach, going to the duodenum, going into the gut, but by dissolving into it and realizing that first you perceive one aspect of it, and then it unfolds to become something else, then unfolds to become something else yet again, and then it seemingly disappears, but you know it is still there. In the same way that you have experiences in the outer world, you meet somebody, you have a conversation, you say goodbye, and then you walk on, and you still have the memory, you realize that this is a domain of memories which don't exist, or which still have to exist, or still come to exist. And in that way, you then immerse yourself in this level where creation is ongoing, where destruction and elimination is ongoing to. And by spending a lot of time there, you discover that you can really be there a long time, and there's not much that you can do, but there's so much that you can experience. And then by having that experience, you discover that you change, because all kind of thoughts that you had, you realize they're different. There's so much more to it. And you also realize that thoughts that you had are actually shared with other beings and other life forms. And that those thoughts that you have are, in a way, letters in an alphabet of a language which is shared by so many. And that you're just one of the carriers of that thought that comes by. Just like you drink water and it goes back to the river, somebody else drinks it. A deer drinks it, the ant drinks it, everybody drinks from that water, and then it keeps on flowing through. Likewise, in this domain, everything is there. You dive into it, it dives through you. You experience it, it experiences as you. And then something else is there. So there's always this void and this fulfillment in so many different forms. And once you are used to being there in that nowhere, which is everywhere, then you discover that you can do that anywhere and any time. And in a way, you become the carrier of it. And then at some point, when you go back to the place where you entered, when you walk up that stairway, you discover that you take that light along with you. You're the carrier of that. And then when you are in that terrain of the machinery of the I-God creation, the transformation between realities, the interdimensional domains, transdimensional domains, and then you realize that you understand why these things are doing that. Because it is so logic, because you now know the logic of how everything connects. And so you can see the logic of why that happens in that way, in that, let's say, the transformer space. And when you go back to the stairs and go up the stairs, then you can realize that in the dream space, you know why these dreams are there, because they are part of an ongoing transformation, because they are part of that deeper ongoing story, and it gets so much more meaning. You understand why it is there, because in the universe it was there already, you've seen it. You've seen why it changes shape, because you understood that you've been there. And then with that understanding of how the dreams are there and how the dreams are being played out in the outer world, when you go up the stair again, when you step into the outer world, you then know that what you see is a fragment, like a kaleidoscopic image of an ongoing dream in which there's so much more possible. And that dream, that storytelling is part of an ongoing transformation, a learning, an insight in which you have a role. You're part of the storytelling. Every step you take tells the story. Every action you do explains more of the story. Every place where you are, you're a presence and an unfolding of that story. You discover that your presence is unique and absolutely relevant, because you are the connection to the universe that is there where you are. And so the more you do this, the more you discover it, and the more you will discover it, that what you experience will be very different from the way I could describe it. You will also understand why I needed to describe it like this, because I cannot describe it as it is, because you can only experience what it is, as it is, how it is, by yourself, for yourself. But that's not really the essence of the story. The essence of the story is that you can go down those four stairs and enter into those four realms of conscious, subconscious, unconscious, and out of conscious with awareness. And by doing that again and again and again, you'll see how it all connects. I wish you a wonderful time with that. Thank you.